All right, then. We are wide open right now. Get it going. Time for you to step it up. I've done a couple of interviews for the first hour, and I've got nothing until the last segment of the program. So now is your time. You're coming off a weekend, ton of NFL, ton of college ball, lots to cover. If there's something you want to talk about, you want to do it right now. 1-800-636-8686. MLB playoffs, also fair game. 1-800-636-8686. Second hour is wide open. Third hour, an interview in studio with professional surfer Bethany Hamilton. She will be in studio in the last segment of the program. I'm looking forward to that. I will be in New York once again tomorrow. I'm going to fly out right after the program and do this show in New York City tomorrow. And then I've got to sit down with Dana White for a sports and technology conference. And then Wednesday, I will not be working. And then I'll be back on Thursday. We're coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. And we are dropping podcasts. Lots of podcasts. In addition to this program, lots of podcasts. The RPO coming up later on today. David Faraday is my guest on the Jim Rome podcast. It's an incredible interview. That's coming up on Wednesday. Starting off hour number two, Rome. What's with the Red Sox and their hip thrusts whenever they have a big hit? In my day, hip thrusts were strictly off-the-field activities. Regards, Steve Garvey. Mike in Buffalo, helping him. War Hawk, seeing James Kelly's forehead pop up with a price gauge on it to get a Kelly Blue Book value for his Camry. Hey, you know how everything comes around? You know how what's old is once again new? How everything comes around? Garv isn't one of those things. That's not coming around. That's what's old is now new, is cool again. That's not it, Mike. You know, I still have no idea what happened to Hawk in his car. We never got into it. I've had better things to do. I have not asked him about it. I do not know how that ended. Last we heard, he came out to get his car one morning, and the car was gone. And he's like, oh, man, somebody stole my Camry. Somebody stole my 2001 250,000-mile Camry. Hello, honey? The car's gone. So Hawk's tripping and tries to turn it into a content opportunity, runs to Twitter, posts a poll question. Did somebody rip off my car, or was it towed? No, idiot. He didn't pay the tags. They ripped his car. So I don't know where that stands. I may or may not get to it. I am curious, Hawk. I do want to know. But since you're here with a pretty good attitude, that's all that matters to me. I mentioned at the top of the show, rare is the day that I start this show by talking about a team that lost. But that's how good Kansas City looked to me in defeat against the Pats. You know what you're going to get with the Pats. We didn't know what we were going to get from Kansas City on the big stage. And for a time, it looked like pretty much what we'd expect a team like that with a young quarterback to do and to get on the big stage. But then Pat Mahomes got it going. So I did not start the show with the Pats, which brings me to hour number two. I mean, after all, they did win. Shouldn't I be talking about the Pats? This email says, hit that royalty-free techno in honor of Nathan Michael Peterman, Alvey. Peterman going Peterman in the clutch. Makes me feel like everything is right in the world. Just like the Bengals letting one slip away against the Steelers. The Browns getting killed. The Jags returning to mediocre form. War the Steelers trading for Patrick Peterson during their bye week. And Mike D for three. Boy, he nailed that one, though, didn't he? That guy's so right about all of that. Peterman going Peterman in the clutch. Check. Bengals melting down against the Steelers. Check. Browns getting killed. Check. Jags returning to mediocre form. Check. And the Steelers trading for Patrick Peterson. How about they trade for Patrick Peterson and they get Le'Veon Bell back? Because all of a sudden, Pittsburgh looks like Pittsburgh again. But let's just focus on one thing at a time. Bills Mafia, you know I don't want to do this. You know it gives me no pleasure to have to do this. But I have to do this. It's my job. Just know, I hate it.
I hate it.
I hate it.
I hate it.
And I hate myself for doing it. And you know I do not play favorites here. So, Alvy, much like that guy just asked, and I myself will ask for the same thing. Dust off your very best royalty-free techno and drop us all a freaking beat. Because he is back. Nate Peterman is back, baby. Buffalo's original QB1 went absolute legend yesterday in H-Town. That probably right there was the Nate Pete performance to end all Nate Pete performances. It takes a special quarterback to come into a huge game and steer a team to victory. And that's exactly what Nate Pete did for the Texans. If you measure a quarterback's ability by the impact he has on a football game, then Nathan Peterman is a first-ballot Hall of Famer. There is no game that this guy does not impact greatly. In fact, skip the ballot and just throw a gold jacket on this guy right now, because what this dude has done in just six games is absolutely electric. It's historic. Look at these numbers. 79 career passes, 9 career INTs. Let me say that again. 79 career passes, 9 career INTs. A quarterback rating of 29. Yesterday, with the Bills defense playing its ass off, Josh Allen out of that game with an elbow injury, Nate Pete gets the call, and he freaking answered it. Because after throwing career TD pass number 3 by spinning a dime to Zay Jones in the corner of the end zone, Nate Pete had the ball with a minute 34 left in a tie game with a chance to be a legend, to be a hero. 4 seconds later, my man achieved that goal.
Peterman picked off Joseph, and he will go! Touchdown!
I'm telling you, that was the most predictable Nate Pete moment ever. The most predictable Nate Pete house call ever. There's Nate Pete staring down Kelvin Benjamin. And there's Jonathan Joseph jumping the route. Not exactly scared off by Calzone's deep speed. I mean, that throw was so bad that 2 dudes nearly jumped that route. The Honey Badger was lasered in on that thing from center field, and he nearly got there in time to get it if Joseph wasn't camped out waiting for it before high-stepping into the end zone. So not only another pick six, the game-winning pick six. My man went absolute legend again. In fact, he pretty much does every single time he lines up under center. Just not for you, Bills Mafia. Just not for you. Again, Bills Mafia, doing this does not make me happy. I don't want to do this, especially after I watched your defense battle. Play their guts out. 7 sacks, 14 tackles for a loss. My man Lorenzo Alexander having a freaking ball game. Jordan Poyer waving to his ladies in the crowd after a huge interception. But it's awfully hard to talk about how good that D is playing when you've got Nate Pete out there burning it all to the ground, chasing that pick six with another freebie to finally finish off the Bills.
Third down and 6. Peterman throws across his body.
Gotta love that beat. It's royalty free. That's 2 interceptions in under a minute. And if staring a hole through a receiver while an entire secondary jumps that route were not enough, then rolling right and throwing back across your body to the middle of the field might have been. But according to Sean McDermott, it might not be. Because even after that performance, McDermott was not willing to jump off the Nate Pete train. Even after the Bills signed Derek Anderson last week, he said, quote, "We'll see. Derek, as you know, just came this week. We're going to look at the film and see where we are and also see where Josh is and go from there." End quote. You know, Sean McDermott's a pretty good coach. Good coach. Solid coach. But if Nathan Peterman, can I get a royalty-free techno beat, Alvin? It is free. If Nathan Peterman has a job at the end of the week, you know, I got to kind of wonder about the coach. Now, I understand. I know why he's doing it. I understand that not saying who the starter is so your next opponent has to prepare for more than one guy. But trust me, the Colts will be preparing for Anderson because they know Peterman requires no preparation whatsoever. I'd be shocked if any Colts coach or player spends even 1 second this week breaking any of Nate Pete's tape. For who? For what? Why would you waste that time? Two picks in a 44-point loss in week one should have been Nate Pete's ride off into the sunset. Two more in 60 seconds is so peak Nate Pete that there is no place for this guy to go other than grad school. But again, I'm not here to bury a guy. I'm here to keep it positive. And the one positive thing that I can say about Nathan Peterman is that in the very least, we will always have this absolutely fire beat. And it will always be royalty free. Nate, I tried to pick you up, brother. I really did. You know I did. You know I did. I just can't. They had it. They had it. This guy was going to go absolute legend. But then he went Nate Pete at the worst possible time. Bills Mafia, I really am sorry. Sorry I had to do it, but you know I had to do it.
I hate it.
I hate it. Especially on a day when the Brock Lobster made his return. And he did. And looked awesome. What the hell is going on with this league? I love the NFL, but what the hell is... Thanks, Batman. What the hell is going on with this league? A few weeks back, the Jags defense looked unbelievable, and they put that beat down on the Pats, and they look like a Super Bowl team. And then yesterday, the Cowboy offense, which has been so crappy, lit them up for 40. Brock Lobster comes out of nowhere and looks like Dan Marino. What the hell is going on here? At Table Slam Fam tweets, Nate Peterman throws an incredibly catchable ball. That's true. Yeah, SmackOff99 tweets, one word for Peterman. Get!
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 She says it with such authority, too. Get!
Get!
He may not be able to. We have to wait and see about Josh Allen and see the extent of his injury. He got his elbow cracked. And apparently Derek Anderson is not ready yet. Apparently, allegedly. Again, I know what McDermott's doing. He's not going to say who it is. Why would he? What's the benefit to that? But then again, he doesn't need to say who it is. It's not like anybody's going to spend any time preparing for Nate Peterman. I mean, crank it up, said it best. He needs to get.
Get.
He needs to get.
Get.
Still, some of my favorite social material from the weekend was the queen, Danica. Man, she was getting bent, looking to get some.
Get.
Look at her feet. That's just not me talking. That's her. She was looking for a tenderoni and, quote, a slump buster. Was the flight deck available as a slump buster? First, she was thirsty for Geller, but now she wants a slump buster. Phil in Dallas tweets, the good news for Nate Peterman is the Mega Millions is $654 million. Hashtag pick six. That is good news. And finally, exhibit A, B, and twice through the alphabet. Nathan Peterman, signed Colin Kaepernick. I don't care how you feel about that guy. I mean, I do. I care how you feel about that guy. I don't feel the same way about him that a lot of you do. You can't tell me Kaepernick does not give them a better chance to win than Nathan Peterman, all right? Say what you want about his decision to kneel. That's a different conversation. Why don't we talk football for a minute? You cannot tell me that Kaepernick couldn't walk right onto a field right now, and I have no idea what kind of shape he's in, and still not give them a better chance than Nate Peterman. You just can't. You know what you can do with that take? Get!
Get!
I can't wait to talk about the Lobster. I cannot wait to talk Brock Lobster. But in fairness, I really should give the Pats some credit, right? We got to talk about these guys. They put on a show last night. All right, all of that's still ahead. Bethany Hamilton will be in studio in our last segment. Trevor Price will be taping the RPO with me right after that. And then I'm going to get to the airport and go to New York City. In sports, there are smart moves, and then there are not-so-smart moves. You know, like getting to practice on time. I would consider that smart. Parking in the coach's spot, not smart at all. The same thing is true when you're hiring. There are smart ways and not-so-smart ways to get things done, like job sites that overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes. Not smart. Posting a job on ZipRecruiter and letting them find the right candidates for you, that is smart. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology scans thousands of resumes. It identifies people with the right skills, education, and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply so you get qualified candidates fast. This is why ZipRecruiter is rated number one by employers in the U.S., and that's based on Trustpilot rating of hiring sites with at least 1,000 reviews. Right now, you can try it. ZipRecruiter. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. ZipRecruiter.com/ROME. Try it for free. If you're looking for a smart way to find the right talent for your team, go to ZipRecruiter.com/Rome. Try it for free today. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Got to remind you, Monday is an ATP day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Submit a question. You know to listen later on because I'll answer one of them. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Going back to Friday, it's actually still posted. We did a scope after the show, starring various members of the XR4TI. So if for whatever reason you did not see that, the reason I did that was a number of you clones hooked me up with an awesome gift. And I'm not even sure why you did that. In fact, Hawk, go ahead, put the headphones on. Let's very quickly talk about this. I want to acknowledge the clones. So something came in the mail on Friday. In fact, a couple of things came. First, I got some booze. Because it was my birthday, right?
Yeah, that was cool. From Crown Royal.
Crown Royal sent a beautiful box. So they knew it was my birthday. My birthday was yesterday. I'm not a birthday guy. I'm not saying that because, hey, yo, look at me. I got a birthday. But Crown Royal sent a beautiful box. But in addition to that, another gift came. If somebody watching right now or listening did not see on social where we posted the scope and we also put it up on Instagram, what was the gift that the clones bestowed upon me?
First off, happy birthday. I know you're a big birthday guy. They got you.
What did I just say, Hawk?
They got you a bat, a Louisville Slugger
bat.
Don't
get her trying to be funny, man. You're just not.
It was Michael Jordan's bat from the movie Space Jam. The movie that you were in, the movie that you starred in, they got it from a prop shop, I believe. They efforted that, and 25 different clones all went in. It was spearheaded by Caleb in Green Bay, and they sent you a Michael Jordan bat for your birthday from your movie. Very cool.
That was so awesome. And it came with a certificate of authenticity. So before you start cracking back on Caleb and the other 24 saying, come on, Rome. And they went down to Big Five and they bought a bat. Wake the hell up. It's the actual bat. And it was not cheap. So what was the genesis of that? What was that for?
That actually wasn't, it just timed up to your birthday. But really, it was just like a thank you for everything that you do. And it was a pretty cool gesture, and it took a while for them to get it to us. We were working out mailing it, and it finally showed up right on the birthday weekend, which is okay. Cool.
It really nice. You did not see the card, though. There was the small print on the card. The condition, it was conditional. It said, P.S., Rome, thanks for everything you do. You've made a big difference. You need to fire Hawk, or we claim or we maintain the right to take that bat back. There was small print on that card.
I would keep the bat.
Oh, there's no doubt I'm keeping the bat, Hawk. There's no doubt I'm keeping the bat. Can you keep your car is a better question.
I got the car back, and I'm operating it the same way that I did before it got towed. I'm driving that thing with expired tags, and it is my proverbial middle finger to the system. You can't come and take someone's car off the street and not expect me to get the same amount of value out of it that it cost me to get it out of the tow yard. So I'm going to drive it till I feel like I get $500 of value out of it. Because I'm parking in a private lot at my place, and I'm parking in a private lot here, and they would have to find me within the 1 mile from my place to work.
Oh, you go, Hawk.
And
you
I'm doing
go,
it.
Hawk. Way to stand in with the man, Hawk. What'd you say? You can't take who off of what street? You can't take a guy with four IQ points and expect him to be smart. Hawk, you just said on a nationally syndicated radio program and on a TV simulcast that I am not changing anything. I will continue to do what I'm doing. You think maybe somebody who matters might hear that?
I don't care.
Might come and take your car again.
Come find me. And
come
good luck,
me.
Because
come
it's a very
me.
Short
How much
drive.
Did it cost you to get that car out of Hawk?
It cost me $482.
Okay. Almost five bills.
Yes. And I'm very upset about
it. And you're saying come find me.
Yeah, come find me. I have a very short drive. You're not going to pull
Hawk,
me over.
How does $500 more taste?
I mean, that's not going to happen. I'm going to win. I'm going to win this battle against the system.
Yeah, because you're winning, because you're doing so well so far. It's a real boat race, Hawk. Boy, you're taking down the man.
Thank
All
you.
Right, so you're welcome. All right, so nothing's changed. You got your car back.
Yeah, and I drove it here, and it still has expired tags. It still says January 2016.
Hey, idiot, you lit $500 on fire. Hello?
I'm not going to park on the street
you
again.
You have nothing to show for it, Hawk. Oh, yeah, again. And in fact, why not? Since you're not changing anything and you're not getting the tags, why don't you just show what a real man you are and park it on the street again and walk around with your chest out? Yeah, what are you going to do about it? That's what I thought. There it is. It's still there. Hey, what are you going to do about this car? That's what I thought. Oh, Hawk, you were something else, man. And by something else, I mean really dumb. Really, Hawk? Come on.
I'm going to drive. It's my car. I'm going to drive it. The government can't take
my
car.
You're not,
me.
You're not the boss of me, Jim. It's my car.
No, right, no, Hawk, you anyway. Are the boss of me. The government is not the boss of my car.
The government is not the boss of my car.
No.
Hawk, let me ask you something. Why do I do any prep on this show when I can just come in here every single day and have a three-hour conversation with you? And it's probably better than any take I have on anything happening in sports. That's how dumb you are.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Stay strong. Stay dumb, Hawk. Stay dumb. Dude, you are something else, man. All right. Thank you very much, Adam. Thank you for nothing, as always. He's not changing anything. The government is not the boss of him or his car. Well, there's your update. Anyway, that's not what I meant to do there. Adam actually did have the background on the gift, clones. Thank you very much. I did mention this in the scope that we did, which is still posted. It's pinned to my Twitter feed. But the bat is awesome. The bat is in my office. If you've seen my office, I have very limited memorabilia in that office. So the things that made the cut in the office are all deeply personal to me. So without giving up to you what's in the office, I want you to go to my Twitter feed, look for the pinned tweet, and when you get a chance, don't do it right now because it's like 13 minutes long, I want you to watch the scope that I did and clones. Caleb et al. I can't mention anybody by name, and I don't want to leave anybody out, but all of their names are on the plaque. Thank you very much. The bat is awesome. It's tremendous. I love it. It's the actual bat that Michael Jordan swung in Space Jam. And then I tweeted a picture of that, and then I shouted out to at King James. LeBron, I know this is essential, your call. Put me in the movie. I'm an OG. I was in the original movie. It was my movie. Ask Mike. So I'm here. I know everybody in this town wants to be in that movie. But not everybody in this town, A, has my chops, or B, was in the original movie. Or C, has to carry Hawk around all day long and pay all his bills for him.
Baseball bat.
I was waiting for them to send me the tennis racket. But they got the actual bat. 1-800-636-8686. All right, so in terms of bets, I wonder if my bookie is going to take action on this. Who do you have, the man or Hawk? If you had to bet, who do you have, the man or Hawk? Hawk just said it. The government is not the boss of me or my car. Jamie in Green Bay, he's in. Quote, Hawk versus the system. My money is on the system. My bookie's got to get action up on that. Who are you going to bet on? Hawk or the field? Hawk or the man? Hawk or the government? Jamie's in first. He's taking the system. All right, 1-800-636-8686. Still ahead, my thoughts on the Patriots and how they came out on top last night. My thoughts on Brock Lobster. My thoughts on the disaster that is the Raiders. That went so much worse than even I expected, and I expected bad things. Now they're 1-5. and they should be 0-6. And Gruden's not making any difference at all. No good difference. RPO, F6, after the show. Bethany Hamilton in studio in hour number 3. And more of your phone calls when we come back. Let's get you a sports update. Here is the bottom of the hour. It is the CBS Super Bowl season, and it continues when the NFL heads across the pond. You've got Titans and Chargers. Next up, a doubleheader, Tom Brady and the Patriots go up against Khalil Mack and the Bears, followed up by a big divisional showdown with the Cowboys and Redskins looking to gain ground in the NFC East. Wake up with the NFL today at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific. Start your full day of football on CBS. The show looks awesome. They're having a great season. And I've done a couple episodes already, and I'm looking forward to my next appearance, which will be in New York. I'm going to New York today to appear in studio tomorrow for this show and for a sit-down with Dana White for a sports and technology conference. And then I am off on Wednesday. Mike in Toledo tweets, Nathan Peterman sure looks worthless at this point, doesn't he? Signed, Sears stockholders. Sears is trending. U.S. retail icon files for bankruptcy. That's what that meant. And then Hawk is getting murdered once again on TweetDeck. Jacob in NorCal tweets, the California Highway Patrol pays their officers through vehicle registration. Officers are looking for expired tags. Tick tock, my friend. Are you hearing this, Hawk? Hawk's response to that is, and I quote, it's a game I'm willing to play. Who are you going to take, the CHP or Hawk, in this game? Dear Jim, why doesn't Hawk just walk to work? Not trying to be a smartass on here for once. Mike in Buffalo, I would. As close as he lives to work, given that he has expired tags, I would walk to work. Dear Rome, I agree with Hawk. Come find me. Yours, Baby Jessica. Aaron in Omaha, unwore the 0-6 start for Husker football. They lost again, didn't they, Aaron? Aaron, you've been warned about Baby Jessica. At J. Wren, 673, hey, Rome, we fully support Hawk's stance. Sincerely, the people who claim that income tax is voluntary. You do pay taxes, don't you, Hawk? Every year, right? Not when you want to, not when it's convenient. You're not playing that game, are you? The tax evasion game. You're not playing that game, right? Stucknuts in. We'll find Adam Hawk, signed Ponch and John. Way back in the day when I was in the 818 and I just started my TV show for ESPN2, my schedule was, here was the schedule. I did this show from, believe it or not, 12 noon to 4. And then the TV show was shot in Hollywood. And that show, if I'm not mistaken, used to air 7:30 to 8:30. I'd come back over the hill to the 818 and then hit the gym and do some cardio before I went to bed. And I would see Ponch in that gym. Eric Estrada. Walking around like the boss that he was and probably still is. Years ago, though. And one more. Hey, Rome, you need to help Hawk get a new podcast launched. You can call it The Ceiling of Stupidity.
There's no ceiling for my stupidity.
That would be 30 minutes of gold. Todd in Oklahoma. You know me. I'm looking for that podcast network. We're starting multiple podcasts. I have one. We have the RPO. And maybe Hawk's Ceiling of Stupidity.
There's no ceiling for me.
Where Hawk spends 30 minutes every single week talking about really stupid things that he does in his life. It's not a bad idea. There's crime podcasts, and there could be a stupidity podcast. Right, so I keep trying to talk about the Pats. I really should, given how good they looked last night. However, the Dolphins are also on my radar, and for a very obvious reason. Let's face it, they did not exactly head into Sunday's game on a hot streak. Pretty tough to remember, but they started 3-0. And then the Patriots fed them to the wood chipper and won by 31. Let me stop right there. Do you remember prior to that game, there was all that talk about the Pats dynasty being dead, the changing of the guard. Miami was going to run that division. Then they got hammered by 31. Then the Bengals housed them by double digits. And then news broke Sunday morning that starting quarterback Ryan Tannehill was a late scratch. The best piece of news coming from the Dolphins' Twitter was this absolutely iconic tweet by beatman Joe Shad. He tweeted this, quote, "The Dolphins have complimented Brock Osweiler for his snap count etiquette and huddle etiquette since his arrival," end quote. I mean, I didn't even know that snap count and huddle etiquette were things, like that existed. Yet, here's the positive spin out of Miami for an offense about to face Khalil Mack. That tall dude with that terrible tattoo and a big bank account who has been shipped from Denver to Houston to Cleveland, back to Denver and out of Miami, is going to be an absolute gentleman in the huddle and at the line of scrimmage because he has huddle etiquette, snap count etiquette. Except he wasn't. This guy was not a gentleman. This guy was not showing any etiquette whatsoever. Not only was he not a gentleman, Brock Osweiler was an absolute savage. The Brock Lobster is back, baby. He's back. Chicago just got done dirty by the big man. 28 of 44, 380 yards, three touchdowns, a couple of picks to keep it interesting, but 541 yards of total offense. I'm just going to come right out and say it. Brock Osweiler owns the Bears. He does. The Bears are 0-3 against this guy. And even after Kenyon Drake fumbled the game away at the one-inch line in overtime, Brock said, "I got this." And he put the fins on his back, marched them for six plays, and as the clock expires, Jason Sanders kicks the OT winner.
47 yards. The kick is up. The kick is good.
He hit the kick.
No. Oh, no.
Jason Sanders has won the game for the Miami Dolphins.
No flags. It's over.
Like I said, weird, weird league. You want proof that that league is weird. Once again, the Cowboys body bag Jacksonville, and Brock Osweiler put up more than 500 yards of offense against a Bears defense that had looked ridiculous. Brock Osweiler was staring down a double-digit deficit late in the third quarter, and this dude just went Dan Marino with it. And honestly, I'm not even sure that he knew what the hell he was doing. After hitting Albert Wilson for a ridiculous 75-yard TD pass, he hits the Bears with a Jordan shrug. Only when 45 did it, he couldn't explain how everything he shot that he looked at went down. When Brock did it, I think he was legitimately confused. Like, how the hell am I doing this? Like, what's going on here? What happened? Well, it did happen, Brock. You went out and you beat the Bears. And then post-game, your coach went to the mic and basically lit Ryan Tannehill on fire.
I don't know. I don't sit there and ask him all these questions. And I just know the guy couldn't go today. All right, go ask him. I'm tired of answering this question about this guy. I got it, but you know what? I'm over it. Me and him, we know that he's not right now. Okay? The details of it, we'll keep that to us. You guys don't need to know that.
I mean, damn. You just go out there and you beat Chicago with the Brock Lobster, and that guy couldn't sound more aggravated, more irritated. Like, I don't know what the hell is going on between Tannehill and Adam Gase. But I know that when your own head coach speaks with that kind of disdain and won't even mention the starting quarterback by name, that can't be a good thing. Gase hit Tannehill with a him. He hit him with a this guy. He hit him with I'm over it. I mean, that's the kind of thing that leads you to believe that we might be seeing even more of the Lobster in aqua and orange. And I'm all about that. We're all about that. Because one Sunday, a Brock Lobster is incredible. But another one is better. How about the rest of the season? Oh, hell yes. No, and of course I don't think this guy can do it again. I just don't care. because he did it yesterday. And the NFL is better with the Rock Lobster. Whether he is lighting himself on fire or lighting somebody else on fire, he's going to light something on fire. He's the Brock Lobster. And the NFL is better when he's under center and he's playing. The NFL is so much better when this guy's out there slinging it around the yard, either to his own team or the other team. He's going to hit somebody between the numbers. And he's going to overthrow somebody. And he's going to put it 20 rows in the stands. He's going to do something, though.
I'm over it.
And Gaze is over it.
I'm over it.
Man, that does not exactly sound like, oh, no, that's our guy. That's our guy, and that's his team. That's this guy. That's between me and him. He wouldn't even mention this guy by name. That's not an accident either. And nor is it respectful. Nor do I give a damn, because the Brock Lobster showed up in all his glory, and it was beautiful. Like I said, have you noticed? If I'm not going to mention the team with the biggest win of the week, it's because the team that lost looked great doing it. And if I'm still not going to mention the team with the biggest win of the week, it's because the Brock Lobster reemerged. I still haven't even talked about the patch yet. I'll tell you who's skating. Chuck Gruden and the Raiders. On any other day, the fact that they dropped a 1-5 and lost the way they did, I would have led the show with that. Let's go to the phone, San Diego, where if you're in San Diego, you're hearing this show on 97.3 The Fan FM. And it sounds tight. Greg in San Diego. What's up, Greg? How are you?
Romy, it's been a long time. Let's flash back to Los Alamitos and Mr. B's Sports Bar. You're live on the air after 9 o'clock at night, and the brawl at Mr. B's Sports Bar breaks out, Romy. How did that feel? Do you remember it? And it's way better than what happened with the New York Knicks and their brawl, Romy.
Hey, Greg, really quick. You were not there that night, were you?
Yes, I was. I was the one right in the middle of it. I was wearing a Junior Seau jersey, and freaking my buddy was wearing a Jeff Loggom in New York Jets jersey, and four Raider fans, before they wore costumes, they just had long hair, a big old doobie, Romy, hanging out of their mouth, started jawing, and the brawl broke out. I got hit. I got tackled. My glasses went flying. My buddy with the Loggom jersey falls to the ground. We see the brawl breaking out, Romy, and thank God you, my man, were protected back in the one corner by I don't know who it was. Do you remember this, Romy?
Do I remember this? Yeah, of course I remember this. I was there, Greg. All right, let me respond really quickly. Nice job. Some of you know this. This is a famous, famous night in the history of the show. That was, I think, the first remote that I ever did for 690 AM when I got my first big break. They sent me out to do a live show in a bar in Los Alamitos. And the show was on the air from 7 to 12. This is how I got my big break. I'll hit this on the other side. There was a brawl that broke out. The cops came in. They cuffed Raider fan. They took him out of there. It was hairy. It was hairy. That guy, everything that guy just said was true. Everything he just said was true. Do I remember? Hell yes, I remember. Chairs were flying, women were screaming, and guys were getting cuffed. Yes, I remember. I might have been in the corner. I actually tried to get involved, and I'll explain my involvement. My board operator, the engineer, I kid you not, under the table. Under the table like it was a 9.0 earthquake. All right, quick reset of that when we come back. That was the famous Mr. B's brawl. Third hour is open with the exception of Bethany Hamilton. She'll be in studio at 40 past. That's coming up next hour. Stay tuned.